Why not upset the apple cart? If you don't, the apples will rot anyhow. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. Why not upset the apple cart? If you don't, the apples will not rot anyway. Frank Clark. What does it mean to upset the apple cart? Well, it means to take the status quo and throw it out the window. The status quo is to do things the way we've been taught to do them all of our life. And these are the limiting things. You say, well, there's only balance and there's only right action, there's only peace. This morning as I was reading from The Bottom Line, a monthly publication about life, I was thinking about health. And I was thinking about hospitals. And I was thinking about you and I. And I was thinking about the HMO. I was thinking, now, how can the HMO afford to take care of patients on the amount of money that Medi-Cal or Medicare or whatever gives to them, and the little co-payment that you make? How can they afford to do it? Well, the answer is very simple. If we would really stop and think, in our lives, the average person, there are exceptions, but in our lives, the average person is not ill. The average person has very few illnesses, very few things that limit him. The average person does not go to the doctor. Here on campus for 20, 30 years, nobody was going to the doctor. Nobody's going to the hospital for anything. And then all of a sudden, we decided, well, we'd use the doctor. And pretty soon, everybody's using the doctor. It's just a matter of consciousness. But up to that time, the HMOs, the health insurance people, the Medi-Cal, Medicare, their money was just going into a pot. And it's a lot. And it wasn't being used for Medicare for any individual because they didn't need it. And this is true of families. This is true of the world. I would say, tongue in cheek a little bit, but maybe 80% of the people on the face of the earth are not using medical help. Maybe they need it and are not using it, but they're not using it. And so all the money that is being laid aside for them, all the money that they put into HMOs and things like that, is not being spent by them. The HMO uses it like the insurance company. Now stop and think of that once. What is the insurance company? The insurance company has a company based upon the fact that you're not going to die, that you're not going to get sick, that you're not going to grow old. Or if you do die, you will die at a certain period of time, and you will have paid into your insurance policy all that you're going to get out of it. You're not getting something for nothing. And they're making the interest on your money, which is a great thing. I mean, it helps a lot of people. But you've paid for everything. There's a statement, and I think the statement is so true, but of course it's the apple cart again. The statement says, you never get anything for nothing. You always pay for it one way or the other. Now, what is it that we're paying for? We're paying for medical help when we need it and when we want it. But the thing is, you're paying for it. You don't realize that you really are paying for it when you have your health insurance, your HMO, you have all these things. You just never use it. So all the money that's being paid in there every month is like with the insurance company. It just adds up, and they have tables that tell how long you're going to live, how many people get sick, how many people are well. We ought to look at that sometime. It'd be quite interesting. We'd find the majority of people in the world do not get sick. You say, well, that can't be true. But the noise is whenever somebody shoots somebody, they think, oh my God, there's a murder. Well, and you think everybody's murdering everybody. Three murders in a month in a city of 3 million. And everybody's murdering everybody. You're silly. You're stealing. And then the terrorists are doing these bad things. Sure, go after them, but don't be frightened of them. There was just one little series of terrorism that were doing these terrible things. They should have stopped. Oh, my goodness, yes. But don't get all panicky about it, because it's not happening to everybody. It happened to very few, but it was dramatic. It's like a murder. A murder is a dramatic thing, especially when we hear all the details of it. And we get all excited about it and all interested in it. But it's a rare thing. I think the most important thing that any of us can learn in life is that it doesn't happen. It's that it's a very rare thing. Oh yeah, people get cancer, people get illnesses, people get sicknesses that are very terrible. And we do need hospitalization for that type of thing. We do need care for that type of thing. And let's pray and know that that's not going to be our experience. We don't need that. But the thing is, those who have it, give them all the help that they can have, all the blessings that they can have. Treat with them, pray with them, know with them, perfect health. But don't think that just because one or two people has it, everybody's got it. Now, we were reading an article about the hot tubs and how infectious diseases can be translated into hot tub. Okay, how many hot tubs are there in the United States alone? Well, there are about 500 million hot tubs in the United States. Herb, how do you know that? Well, I can make a guess like anybody else can make a guess. Okay, so 500 million hot tubs in the United States. How many people use each hot tub? Well, let's just say 400 million, leaving 100 million hot tubs that are just sitting there not being used very much, okay? Mm-hmm. So 400 million hot tubs. In 400 million hot tubs, how many people go in there in a period of a year? Let's say 400 million people times 12. Or whatever, times two, times whatever. Let's say a billion people. That's not too much. A billion people use 400 million hot tubs in a year's time. That's a lot, but not much. Now, of these billion people, how many people get rashes? How many people have these problems? How many people have these things that hot tubs can bring on? Very interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, they say you shouldn't go in there if you're old and if you have high blood pressure, if you're pregnant. Well, the pregnant part I can understand, because that little baby doesn't need to get boiled, you know. But high blood pressure? Are you taking pills for high blood pressure? Is it keeping your blood pressure down? Then you haven't got high blood pressure. You only have high blood pressure when you don't keep your blood pressure down, okay?
Yeah.
So if you are exercising, eating properly, or doing all the other things to keep blood pressure, you don't have high blood pressure. You have high blood pressure only if you're not keeping it down. So, therefore, you can use it. Now, what does it do to you? Of these 400 million tubs and 1 billion people that are using it, how many have reactions? Well, let's say, 100,000, that's a lot. But for 5 billion people, 100,000 is not a lot. You understand that? That's just a little tiny segment. Okay. Of these, what do I say, 1 million people? Of these 1 million people, let's say.
1 billion.
Billion, yeah, but how many have reactions?
Oh, 100,000.
Right, 100,000, thank you. Of these 100,000 people that have a reaction, how many of them are serious? How many of them need medication? No, let's say 20,000. You know? And then the stories are all written about these 20,000 people. You know? And so we think that it's everything. And we empower it to scare us away from enjoying the hot tub, to scare us away from wholeness. Oh, we'll get that if we do it. And sure enough, we get it. So these are things for us to consider. When we are looking into the world and we are looking into the experiences we have, and when we hear about things, don't immediately jump with terror. Don't immediately say, oh, just look at the terrorists, disturbed some of our airplanes. I think it could disturb more, perhaps even more of it than we know, but not all of them, not the majority, just a tiny portion, and tiny portion's a lot. But people didn't go on the airlines. The airports were empty. People didn't go on the airplanes for months. It was silly. Ellen and I just went down there, and we took our flights, and no problems. We had the whole plane to ourselves. We could have had a special bed put in there and slept overnight and stuff, but it was wonderful. But we went there with a clear conscience, with a clear blessing. We blessed the airlines. We went on Swiss Air when it wasn't supposed to be flying, but it flew for us. We did a lot of things, but it's consciousness, and that's what life is all about. Well, why upset the apple cart? That's a good question. Why upset the apple cart? This is things that we do. We just get so afraid of something that's not going to happen. Now they talk about SARS, this infectious lung
disease
that's going around. And in here's an article that says, if you think that anyone in the United States has SARS, here's the number to call. But then it added, be very cautious, because virtually nobody in the United States has SARS. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Nobody. And it's a good statement. Mm-hmm. I thought it's a very positive statement, very, very significant. But we have to be very careful of our thinking, because we could get similarity thinking. We could think we have the symptoms of it, and we would have the symptoms of it, but we wouldn't have the disease, because it is just not that prevalent. Now, how many people in the United States die of a rattlesnake bite in a year? Almost none. And the whole United States, how many people are out trekking in the deserts and doing these things? Thousands of people. How many people see rattlesnakes? Oh, thousands, millions of people, you know. And do they get bit? No. The rattlesnake wants to get away from them faster than they want to get away from the rattlesnake. You think, that's not possible. I don't want any rattlesnake. Well, no, they have no interest in you. And if you, well, remember little Alan? He was running along the path barefoot and so forth, and his mother was ready to scream, oh, there's a snake! And then at that moment, he just jumped over the snake. The dogs jumped over him. The snake didn't pay any attention to him, because they had no anxiety for the snake. They didn't even know it was there. When we came along, the snake had slid it off the path, and it wasn't there. But, you see, fear brings things to us, and it brings things to us that aren't even there. And that's something very important for us to be aware of and to think about. So, we've talked about a lot of interesting things this morning. And what are you going to claim?
Perfection.
Wholeness and perfection.
And how do you get perfection, whole and perfect?
Hmm? I know that I am it.
And how do you know it?
By listening within.
And how do you listen within?
By being cool, quiet, and say,
By taking time to listen within, by taking time. And that doesn't mean time away from doing something else. You can be walking a path and you can be listening within. You can be singing and listening within. You can be dancing, you can be doing many, many things. But listening within is something we want to teach ourselves to do at all times. It's a lot of fun. Well, you have a lovely day, and don't worry about upsetting the apple cart. You are the apple cart, and you're whole and perfect right now. I love you, I love you, I love you.